Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass, pocket collapsing, Allen squirts away from it, throws to the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown. Dawson Knox with the 12-yard touchdown reception. He caught it in the end zone on his way back to Allen, who scrambled out to the left to buy time.
That was the play right after Josh fumbled. Remember that? When Josh fumbled, right? And I'm on the sidelines, and it's right before halftime, kind of. It's a few minutes before halftime. The ESPN crew was standing right near me down on the goal line. It was Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, Jason Kelsey, and Scott Van Pelt. And as soon as that happened, right after Allen fumbles and then Allen throws the touchdown, I turned to Jason Kelsey and I said, "That is the Josh Allen experience all in two plays right there." And he just laughed and said, "Oh my God, you're right, right? It's just crazy." And it was exactly that. I will take the fumble that thankfully resulted in the Bills recovering and those plays, because you get the other plays. You get the touchdown then that he threw to Dawson Knox and keeping the play alive. That's the Josh Allen experience. Would you love for him to never, ever fumble, never, ever throw an interception, which, by the way, he hasn't yet this year? Would you love that? Absolutely. Love him to be perfect. But you know what you get with that? Check down Charlie, right? You get guys that just, not going to take any risks. Josh takes too many risks. We know that. But are they too many? Because the good far and away outweigh the bad at the end result. I read a stat last night, haven't confirmed it, haven't verified. I'm sure somebody will, but I read a stat last night that since the 2020 season, I think it is, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have the exact same number of touchdowns and interceptions. And then Josh has like 20-something rushing touchdowns and Mahomes has 4. It's wild. Everybody talks about Allen's interceptions. 0 on the year. He's the only. Josh Allen is the only qualifying quarterback with minimum number of attempts to qualify. The only one in the league this year that has yet to throw an interception. That is wild. Who had that on their bingo card? Who bet that at their FanDuel account? Amazing. Welcome back here to the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Tuesday, presented by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Of course, all of our Buffalo Football Monday and now Tuesday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com as we roll on with your calls here on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, 803-0550. A lot to get to here during the next half hour with your calls. We'll also then get to sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and our look ahead to the next game and the schedule. I'd like to go over the things that happened this weekend, but more importantly, taking your calls. And of course, by the way, we are live on the WGR Facebook page. Say hi, come aboard, see my face, got my Victory Monday shirt on, but it's a Tuesday. So make sure you check it out there, make sure you're listening, and make sure you're here all week as the Bills take charge of the division, 4-2 overall in the AFC East and in the AFC. It's interesting in the AFC, but the AFC East right now is kind of looking like the Bills to take firm control over the next few weeks with what looks like to me a very, very winnable schedule coming up over the next several games. Let's get to Casey in Youngstown. Hi, Casey.
Hey, Sal. I have 2 points. I just wanted to say that I was really impressed with the offensive line play last night. I think we've got a couple of absolute studs in Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins. I know that they both had personal fouls last night from some extracurricular stuff, but I love that type of aggression, and we definitely dominated the line of scrimmage yesterday on offense, I thought. Yeah. My second point, I know you're going to disagree with me on this because it's a little bit pessimistic, but...
It's okay. I don't have to disagree just because you're pessimistic, but I might disagree depending on what the point is. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think the 8-second defense by McDermott is just another example of cowardly coaching that could have cost his team a victory. And my other point to add on to that is how Tyler Bass is still on this team, I think, is just insane. And I know people are going to say, oh, well, you're not going to be able to find a kicker off the street that's going to make kicks, you know, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, I don't think it can be defended anymore. I know he's their guy, whatever that means, but I think the time has come. And another thing I'd like to say is I think letting Devontae Adams go to the Jets is a major mistake. And
okay, let me address these points one by one, okay? Okay, number one, Tyler Bass, totally agree with you, talked about it. I don't know what's going to change, but the money matters maybe to them, maybe it doesn't. But I also don't know if there's anybody on the street walking in that's going to be better than him. I think that at the very least, I'm probably holding my breath with any new kicker, even more so than him. I don't really know what the answer is there, Casey. You're not wrong about that. Number two, let me take Devontae Adams. What are the Bills supposed to do? They have no money to pay him. They cannot pay his salary. The Jets are taking on his entire remaining salary. The only way the Raiders were going to trade him is by trading his salary with him. The Bills have maybe $4 or $5 million in cap space, and it's $11 million for the rest of the year. What do you want them to do?
I thought I saw something on Twitter that he had no money guaranteed this year.
No, he has no money guaranteed beyond this year.
Oh, okay.
So what would you? So how big of a mistake can it be?
Well, I guess we'll see for.
No, but I mean, what? So wait, right? So that's not a mistake then. That's just something they can't do.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a mistake to sit on their hands and do nothing.
Okay, but that's a different point then, right? Than not getting Devontae Adams. Number three, I don't disagree with you. It was a mistake by Sean McDermott to rush two players. I have an issue with the word cowardly. What's cowardly about what they tried to do, which was, hey, you know, we'd rather have you try a Hail Mary, which obviously didn't turn out, versus giving you a free 5 yards to try and kick a field goal, which I'm guessing, Casey, now maybe I'm wrong here, maybe if they give them a free 5 yards, you're calling me today and saying it's cowardly. How did you give them 5 yards for free for a field goal?
No, I wouldn't have made that point.
Okay, so what was cowardly about it? That's what I want to know. Like, you could make an argument. Now, I agree with you. They should not have rushed only two players, no doubt. And Sean McDermott said so after the game. But they had to make a decision there on how to play it. They didn't play it right. But I want to know what was cowardly about it.
I think just dropping back into that type of the coverage and not rushing four. And, you said that McDermott said he shouldn't have done that and it was a mistake. Sure, but... You know, that's the same type of defense they fell into for 13 seconds, and we know how that dropped. And, you know, that could cost us the game.
That's not the same defense they were in 13 seconds. It's totally the opposite what they did in 13 seconds. They had five guys in the end zone that tried to knock down the ball. 13 seconds, they allowed everybody to get it underneath.
Well, and we know how that worked out.
I know, but do you understand my point I'm making here? I don't disagree with you, but I think cowardly is the wrong word here. They had to make a decision. They made the wrong decision. That's not cowardly. That's just a bad decision.
I just think that his coaching is costing this team.
Obviously, and I can get that. That's your larger point, and I understand that. So you're pointing to this to make a point about being cowardly, which I don't agree with, but I do think it was the wrong call. My bigger issue, Casey, let me say this. If you're going to rush to, which I don't think they should have, I don't think you should have had those two players guarding the sidelines who they had. Those guys should be your rushers. Bring in other guys that might be on the sideline. Maybe bring in Cole Bishop to help defend the Hail Mary. At what point, Casey, I would ask you, and I'm glad you called this, because I think it's a great discussion. At what point do you blame anything on the players on that play?
I mean, I guess I don't know what the autonomy of the players are versus what...
No, I mean like knocking down a Hail Mary. Like the ball that wasn't even high pointed. It got down to his... Like you, at some point, you're taught this at the very basic level of football to get your hands up and knock it down. And nobody even did that because it got through to Alan Lazard. Do they have any accountability here?
Yeah, and then people say that they should have put wide receivers in the end zone to try.
Right, I don't know. Maybe. I guess MVS could be back there. I mean, they are tall. I would be okay with that. I mean, I think there's just a lot of different ways you could go about it. It's a Hail Mary, and that's why they call it a Hail Mary, right? It's by and large, a lucky play, but you definitely could have done things different to speed him up. I'm sure not so sure, though, he doesn't get the throw off in the meantime. I understand what they're trying to do on the play. I wouldn't have rushed to. I don't think it's cowardly. I don't think it's cowardly. I just think it's a decision you have to make, and obviously it didn't turn out in their favor.
Yeah.
Are we good there? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not mad at you about it.
No. I just want to make sure. I don't want anybody to be accusing me of like being a jerk to you or something because we're trying to have a discussion. You know what I mean?
No, like I said, I knew you were going to disagree with...
I don't disagree with they played it wrong, Casey. I just don't know what's cowardly about it. That's the word I have an issue with. That's not cowardly. That's making a football decision that in the moment... that and you also... Here's the other thing, Casey. You trust your players to make a play sometimes when you make a decision. They did make a play.
Yeah, I guess so.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Mario in Jacksonville. Hi, Mario. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, I don't want to be a dead horse here, but going back to what the other caller is saying, I think as Bills fans of the past few years, I think we're just kind of sick and tired of defending McDermott's, we won't call it cowardly, but we'll just call it boneheaded or dumb decision-making, where we call him the next day and we say, okay, well, I guess he could have done the opposite. Then you would be calling saying, why didn't he rush to? Like, those are bad defenses. At some point, we have to have a system of accountability because these are mistakes that are not either costing the team, but they're almost costing the team.
Well, the accountability is the accountability from our standpoint is you calling up because we can't fire the coach. If you want accountability, I mean, when people say that, the accountability would be the owner saying, I'm going to hold you accountable and fire you. That's what the accountability would be.
Yeah, so that's what I'm calling in to say.
So you think he should be fired?
Well, let's see how this season goes.
Sure.
Right? If we're talking in February at the Super Bowl parade, then you can say that Mario guy was an idiot.
No, I get it. I mean, look, I understand. I get it all the time from people. If they fall short again, depending on how it goes, you know, I mean, there's certainly people out there that have made that point, and I understand it from that perspective on the failures of the playoffs. I guess, Mario, a lot of times I get, you know, accused of defending him because I think that there's so much more good than bad. Now, granted, the bad has stood out. Hold on. Because the bad has stood out because of the different situations and blunders at end of games. But how did you win four division championships in a row and become the second winningest team in the NFL over the last 5 years if you're not really good at your job?
Right. And I've fallen victim to being content and happy with that performance because of how bad we've been in the past. But now you're getting to the point now, and maybe you don't look at McDermott, but let's talk about, like, if you don't go out and make it receivers, do you actually think this squad can be competitive with the more elite teams outside of the East? Do you think we can be competitive? So if they don't make a move and they're failing, ownership is failing to hold coaching accountability, then, like, at the end of the day, what are we doing here?
That be a Brandon Bean point then?
Exactly. So
you want Brandon Bean fired too?
I guess just fire them all and let's start from scratch.
Okay, so yeah, right. Fire them all, Mario. Fire them all. They're 4-2 and have won four straight divisions. Fire them all.
Right, Sal. But I think the intelligent fans here are like, where? How do we fix it?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. Listen, they certainly can look around to, you know, bringing in help at wide receiver. There are some salary cap restraints, and they've set up really good rosters, and people could say, well, maybe they should have put themselves in cap situation. Well, then maybe they wouldn't have won four straight divisions. They're trying to win games, right? They're trying to win, and that's what happens in those situations. So I don't know how to fix that other than because of the constraints. A guy calls up earlier, and he's like, how could you let them get Davante Adams, the Jets? Well, because they didn't have the money to get Davante Adams. They couldn't trade for him.
Plus, that's the most Jets move ever, overpaying an aging veteran who's going to cripple you financially. So
possibly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are moves. You could look into Amari Cooper. You could look into Cortland Sutton. I mean, those moves could be, I'm not opposed to it. I think that, to me, Mario, there is a issue at wide receiver right now, and it even showed up last night, and I know they won last night, and I'm here telling you that, but they certainly could still be better in that area, and I do think it's something that has to be addressed in some way, shape, or form, but I don't know the answer either, given the constraints
they
have right now.
One last question.
Yeah, buddy.
Let me ask one last question.
Yeah.
At what point in time, because we look at Brandon Bean now, there's been criticisms of his inability to invest in the receivers earlier in the draft rounds.
Mm-hmm.
At what point in time do the Bills, like other teams, now none come to mind to defend this point, but are you going to look to trade draft capital to maybe trade for an established receiver? We hear these rumors about Christian Kirk, guys like this who are established. If we know he's not going to go out and draft elite receiver talent, at what point in time do you do what the Jets do and look at your quarterback and say, you know what, we're going to go all in on this guy this year. We have Allen. Let's go get him.
Well, the answer is dictated by circumstance as well, Mario, right? Which, A, you can't do what the Jets just did, as I just pointed out, because of finances.
Right.
But at what point, I think it also depends on who is trading and who's not. I mean, I can't force or you can't force the Jags to trade you Christian Kirk. It may sound like a great idea, but maybe they have no interest in trading him unless you give him a first-round pick. I have no idea. Like, we don't know those things and how they go down.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not that this isn't just like you go pick your receiver and he becomes on your team magically. You know what I mean?
That's how it works in Madden.
Hey, that's right. You can build your own team, right? Thanks, Mario. Appreciate it. I got to run, buddy, all right?
Thanks.
No, good call. I appreciate all that. Like, it's super interesting today, right? Steve in Virginia. Hi, Steve. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call today.
You got it.
Hey, I just got 2 points I want to make. Before the beginning of the season with Joe Brady, I wanted to see how he would do, you know, once teams start figuring out his offense. Because we've seen it, you know, with Daboll and, you know, the guy last year, I'm kind of drawing a blank on his name, the old OC. That got
Ken Dorsey.
But thank you. Ken Dorsey. Because I know with, like, Daboll, like, there will be times in the season where the Bills would go through a lull for a few games, but Daboll was able to figure it out and then actually have a good run in the playoffs. Dorsey wasn't able to do that, and now, you know, 3 games in, the Bills got figured out, you know, by, Baltimore in, you know, last week. I mean, was a little bit better, you know, this week. Now I'm seeing, is Brady capable enough of, you know, changing up during the season, or, you know, are we kind of stuck, you know, with them? So that was one. And then the other is, of course, the wide receiver position. My opinion, Allen is a generational quarterback. Besides the year of the 13 seconds where we had, you know, Diggs, Sanders, you know, Davis, Beasley, I feel Allen really hasn't had, you know, the weapons. I mean, the last 2 years I've been feeling the Bills needed a number two. I know they tried with Davis. It didn't work out. But now the Bills need a number one and probably, you know, some other help underneath. It seems like we're going through guys like Sherfield, Hardy, now MVS, Collins, you know. So those are basically the points I wanted to make. So I just wanted to hear your take on all that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the wide receiver position is still one to address, right? I mean, look at what happened last night. They had 12 targets, 9 catches by wide receivers. The highest wide receiver total last night was 3 catches. That's not good enough. I mean, I don't know what else Joe Brady can try to do. I mean, he can, obviously, has to get in the lab and figure it out. Having Khalil Shakir last night helped for sure, but he also was out of pitch count last night. MVS is doing nothing on this team. Nothing. Mac Collins is, he can make a play once in a while. He's out there, but you could certainly argue to do better than him. I just don't know where those answers come from, and it's something that we've kind of talked about here, you know, a lot over the last few weeks. And even with last night's game, with the win, I think it's still there. So I'm not sure. The trading deadline is November 5th. That's Election Day. We'll see if there's something that Brandon Bean can do, but financials dictate a lot of it here. The compensation, why can't the Bills just do what the Jets did? Someone said, well, they can't trade for a guy like Davante Adams at that kind of salary. And if you want him to give up a second-round pick, that's fine. I mean, is the guy you're getting going to come in here and, you know, make that kind of an impact? I mean, you certainly hope so. It's a lot to give up. Let's go to Brandon in Buffalo. Hi, Brandon. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'll just get real quick to it. I hear everybody talking about the wide receiver room. The problem is I got a really hard feeling that the Bills are not interested in bringing in a wide receiver. Now, in the beginning of the season, when Josh started that everybody eats system, I really got the cold, hard feeling that it's more than just Bean, it's Josh Allen, and he's looking at the guys around him, and he's thinking that he can basically make the guys around him better. And the way Diggs left, I really think they have like a bad taste in their mouth of bringing any other wide receivers in, and the guys they have on their line, they're going to make better. And I really feel like it's a very scary thing because I feel like that's really going to cost us bad in the playoffs because it's going to come down to we play the Chiefs, the Texans, somebody, and somebody's going to need to make a play, and we're not going to have the guys to make a play. But I really got the cold-hearted feeling by week 5, you said it's November 5th, I got a really, really scary feeling that we're not going to bring a wide receiver in. I don't even think they're even thinking about a wide receiver. I know a lot of people are upset and thinking, like, we need a wide receiver, but I'm telling y'all, by November 5th, the trade deadline, I would not be surprised if Brandon Bean said that was not even a thought of bringing a wide receiver, and they're going to use the guys they got, and then maybe next year in a draft or something, they'll get a wide receiver. How do you feel about that, Sal?
Well, remember the reports were a couple of weeks ago, Brandon, that the Bills, in fact, as early as last week, the Bills were one of four teams interested in Devontae Adams, right? And then you had Marcel Reese, who was a player and an executive with the Raiders, go on Kay Adams' podcast and say the Bills are a sneaky team. So I think they're interested. I just would probably agree with you that it, more likely than not, that it doesn't happen because of circumstance, you know, and financials and things like that. I do think they're interested. The question is how far they want to go to be interested. You know what I mean?
Not far enough. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm so afraid of that, Sal, because I really got the feeling that they're looking at it like, hey, guys, relax. We can get by this. We got enough guys on our team that we're going to make them better and get by this. And I'm telling you, Sal, it's going to come down to we're going to get in the playoffs and we're going to play a team. And I'm telling you, it's going to come down to somebody making a play make. And something's going to happen, and then everybody's going to get mad and say, what happened? We should have had a number one wide receiver.
I know, right? I know. Thanks
a
lot.
Coming, man. But thank you, sir.
Yeah, you got it, Brandon. Thanks a lot for the phone call, buddy. I really appreciate it. Let's get to Ty in California. Go ahead, Ty. You're on WGR. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, man.
Good. I'm Ty. I'm just 18. I'm from Sacramento, California.
All right.
It's my first time calling in.
Well, hey, you're on the radio. Don't be nervous. Go ahead and say what you got to say, my man.
Awesome. So, yeah, I was looking at – so, obviously, kickers is a problem. I know y'all have been, like, hearing a lot about it today. But I don't know if you guys checked out this guy, Adam Botkins. He's some kicker who's on, like, social media. I know you guys can't, like – you can't see, like, consistency and stuff, but he gets some crazy-ass kicks.
Okay.
Like,
are you friends with him?
83 miles an hour.
Are you friends with him?
No.
Do you know him?
No.
Okay. Why? I don't know anything about him. Why is he not in an NFL team?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it seems like teams just refuse to work him out. I don't know why the Bills haven't.
Okay.
Because I feel like if we could just work him out, we could just see what's up. You know?
All right. Well, hey, I mean, no stone left unturned, I guess, is usually the mantra on things like this. So if he's out there and he's good, I guess, you know, bring him in for a workout. Doesn't mean he can make NFL kicks. But right now, the kicker they have isn't making NFL kicks. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're going to take a timeout here. And when we come back, we'll run through the NFL week number six slate. Good calls today. A lot of good debate. Look, I just want to be clear here. I agree with a lot of you, like, shouldn't have rushed only two players last night in the Hail Mary. And you got to be better than that. I also want to say again, I understand what you're trying to do in that situation, to defend the sideline, not give a free kick. I'd rather, given me, let's go back in time. If I'm the coach, I'm thinking I'd rather give them a Hail Mary shot than give them a free 5 yards and a field goal shot. Because the Hail Mary is probably not going to be completed. And then it's completed. And you got to trust your players to make a better play than that. I know that, you know, put wide receivers back there. You could do that, and they are taught to go up and get the ball. But DBs are also taught to knock the ball down. That's their job. That's literally what they're paid to do. So there's a lot of things that went wrong in that situation last night. Thankfully, it didn't wind up hurting the Bills at the end of the on the scoreboard. If Alan Lazard doesn't hold on to that, we're getting, like, no calls on that today, probably, to be quite honest with you, because it's kind of a, oh, boy, that was close. All right, move on to the next thing. But here we are. I also think it's just super interesting to me that the end of the game was fantastic, both coaching and execution, how they played it. Or at least not fantastic, but they did it the right way, right? Execution was fantastic. The coaching was good decision-making. They ran the ball three times and did it the right way. Great play call on Josh Allen, third down, and that has to be accounted for. So I think you got to have the perspective of it all here today, and that's what we try to do and bring you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Thanks a lot for being with me. We're going to come back. We'll do sit-up, stand-down. Hey, buddy, we're going to look around the league. Week number six, wrap it up, and look ahead to our next game, which is against the Titans on Sunday.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rodgers going to go under center here. Two receivers left, one to the right. Quick snap. It's a flea flicker. Back to Rodgers looking deep, and he's dropped for the sack. Daquan Jones says, hello, Mr. Rodgers.
Putting some out there. Hey, I just had to repost something. Check this out. Before I get to anything, I love this. Thank you. Eric and the guys at Cover One. Eric just pointed this out. Cover One. Eric Turner does a great job. His whole staff there. Okay, here we go. This is what I mean by perspective. Okay? Remember last year's Tampa Bay game? End of the year, end of the season. Listen up. Guy who called cowardly. Cowardly. Can't rush. You got to rush more than two. Listen, I agree. Should have not rushed two. Remember last year? Tampa Bay game, right? Buccaneers come Thursday night, right? Comes down to a Hail Mary at the end. Do you remember that play? Should have maybe been caught by the Bucs. It fell to the ground. Like if Mike Evans turns around or Godwin turns around, he might catch the ball. You know how many guys the Bills rushed? Four.
I thought you were about to say two.
No, they rushed four.
Wow.
The exact same thing happened. He just didn't catch it. You know what we did the next day? How can you let that happen? Horrible coaching. Get some perspective, man. Go look at it. I just tweeted it. Well, Eric tweeted it. I retweeted it. And Carl Jones. I actually retweeted what Carl Jones wrote about it. Carl Jones, who played defensive back at Syracuse, now works at Channel 4 in Buffalo, says, thank you for pointing this out. You have to execute the call. Make a play. That's right. Find the ball. Make a play, man. Two-man, four-man, three-man, five-man rush. Make a play on the ball. They rushed four last year in a Hail Mary. Everybody got all over him and criticized it because the ball fell to the earth and should have been caught for a touchdown, and they escaped it. They rushed two this time. Same thing. This time it actually turned out as a touchdown. I mean, you can't have it both ways, man. You just can't have it both ways. And again, I want to be clear. I didn't like rushing two. Not against Aaron Rodgers. He's too good at that. You can't rush two guys in that situation. I agree. But I'm telling you, there's no one right way to do it, man. Make a play on the ball. You want to put different people back there? That's a different argument. Maybe a couple wide receivers, taller ones. Fine. Although Bill Belichick was on yesterday going, got to put a tall guy back there. Yeah, Bill, you put Rob Gronkowski back there in a few years ago, and he got torched for a long, the trick play, botch, you know, pitch it back and forth, you know, Cal Stanford thing. Anyway. All right. Enough about that. They won the game, damn it. 23-20, the Bills. Hey, you know what the AFC standings look like? Let me get this for you. I'm going to do this now as we get to the games and the rundown from week number 6. I tweeted this out last night. AFC and AFC East. The Bills are first place in the AFC East. 4-2. Next best, 2-3 Miami, then 2-4 Jets. And they've beaten them both. They have a stranglehold on the division right now. You take a look at the conference. The Bills currently have the 4 seed in the conference. Top 4 teams are the division winners. Kansas City at 5-0, Houston 5-1. Baltimore 4-2. They have that over the Bills because they beat them, obviously. Bills 4-2 in fourth. And then it's Pittsburgh, LA Chargers after a big win, Indianapolis. The Bills play Indianapolis in a few weeks. But in the meantime, they have the Tennessee Titans next week. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's run through the NFL week number 6. It started off, of course, Thursday night. San Francisco 49ers 36-24 over the Seahawks. Talked about this a little bit on Friday. Really nice win by the 49ers. Listen, the Seahawks were looking great on defense after 3 weeks. They allowed 20-20-3. Yeah, that was against the Broncos, Patriots, and Dolphins. Since then, 42-29-36, and the Bills have them in 2 weeks. London calling the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams, maybe also calling for Doug Peterson. He hasn't been fired yet, but man, they have another one like that in London this week playing the Patriots. He might not come back to the United States with the team on the team charter. 1-5 now, the Jags. Bears 4-2 after a 35-16 trouncing over the Jacksonville Jaguars. A game of the week that people look forward to that turned out to be a really competitive game. Ravens beat the Commanders 30-23. In this game, Lamar Jackson, 323 passing. Jaden Daniels, 269 and 2 touchdowns. He looks fantastic. Derrick Henry, though, doing Derrick Henry things, 132 yards on the ground. Baltimore Ravens move to 4-2 on the year. Green Bay Packers all over the Arizona Cardinals. I have no idea what Arizona is or what they aren't. They're 2-4 now. They look great 1 week, not great the next. They're just a yo-yo right now. They're up and down. That's what happens when you're not a really great football team. You can make some plays, inconsistent. Packers look good. Jordan Love throws for 4 touchdowns. Not totally convinced of the Packers right now. I think that, you know, we've seen them play in other situations where go back a couple of weeks. What was the game they had a couple of weeks ago? They lose 31-29 to Minnesota. They were down a little bit to the Rams. Struggled a little bit with the Colts. But you know what? Hey, they're getting the job done. But hey, big win, big game this week coming up for the Packers against the Houston Texans. Speaking of the Texans, they beat the Patriots 41-21. Drake May, his first ever NFL start. 20 of 33, 243, 3 touchdowns, and 2 picks. He also ran for 38 yards. Not a bad debut, but a couple of picks you don't want to see there. The Houston Texans without Nico Collins now. Stephon Diggs leads the way. 6 catches, 77 yards, and Joe Mixon runs for 102. Texans looking pretty good so far, obviously, with Bills saw them a couple weeks ago. 41-21. Big showdown, though, I just said, for them with the Green Bay Packers coming up next on their schedule. The Buccaneers put 51 on the board against the New Orleans Saints. 51-27. Boy, the Saints are who we thought they were. I didn't think they were as good as they were playing the first 2 weeks. And now we know. They played the Panthers and Cowboys, two of the worst defenses in the league. 47-44 those 2 weeks. You're like, oh my God, they reminded me. I actually was going to tweet and say, they reminded me of the Drew Bledsoe Bills back when they got him. And like, oh yeah, this is great. And then things kind of come down to earth a little bit after teams catch up to you and you play a different schedule. They've lost 4 in a row now, the Saints have. And for the other side, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers look pretty good. 4-2. Bucks in a big game against the Ravens coming up this week. Monday Night Football against the Ravens. Ooh, Monday Night Football actually next week is very interesting. I'll get to that schedule in a minute. Browns at the Eagles. Boy, what's up with Nick Sirianni? Nick Sirianni, man, what are you doing? Yelling at the fans. He brings his kid out to the podium after the game, people criticizing him that. I guess he does it every game, though, but didn't want to face tough questions, they say. I mean, they won the game. They had some words with the fans, though, but this is maybe more about the Browns. 1-5, where are they going? Deshaun Watson looks terrible. Lost season, it seems like, here for the Cleveland Browns right now at 1-5. Colts beat the Titans 20-17. Bills face the Titans next week. I'll get to that in 1 second. Colts 3-3, Titans 1-4. Both teams on the Bills schedule coming up soon. Chargers beat the Broncos 23-16. Chargers with a nice win over the Broncos. Chargers go to 3-2. Broncos go to 3-3 on the season. They have a good defense, but the Chargers did a nice job on them. Steelers over the Raiders, all over them, 32-13. They move to 4-2. Raiders just trade Devontae Adams to the Jets today. Falcons beat the Panthers 38-20. Lions demolish the Cowboys 47-9. Jerry Jones threatening radio hosts. That's part of my sit-up, stand down. And then the Bengals 17-7 over the Giants on Sunday Night Football. All right, want to take a break here, and then we'll get sit-up, stand down, hey buddy, and we'll look ahead to the next game. All right, let's get right to it here. Let's get to sit up, stand down. I'm going to start with stand down. Jerry Jones on his flagship station, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. The hosts were asking him questions. And why'd you do this? Why haven't you done this? And this is what he did.
Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years, okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me. Talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
Jerry Jones in his weekly radio interview, 105.3, The Fan in Dallas. I mean, what are you doing here? Are you threatening to fire hosts, or is he just saying, like, I'll take my radio rights somewhere else? I have no idea. But it sure sounds like he's doing something in that mold. If you listen to more of it, he's actually, all right, now we're ready to, now I ask some questions. Stand down, man. Stand down on your team. Everything you, the decisions you've made, they're not good. And they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, by the way. They're just not a good football team. All right, let's sit up on a coach probably being fired sometime soon, whether that's Doug Peterson or Mike McCarthy there in Dallas. I don't know, Nick Sirianni, after what happened, he was kind of weird, the stuff that happened last week. Again, they won the game, they're 3-2. Stefanski can't go, right? He's two-time coach of the year. I think somebody else soon is about to be out of a job here in the NFL with these coaches and everything that's going on in the NFL. So stand down on what happened with Jerry Jones there in the radio interview. Come on now. And then sit up on maybe some changes being made around the league with a coach here or there or somebody somewhere maybe out of a job. Let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Buddy, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
My buddy is all of our buddies here. All of our buddy, he's our buddy when he comes in. It's Howard Simon! In his Mets, and I felt so good for Howard after his Mets won yesterday. But I have to be honest, I don't really envy thinking about a Subway Series if the Yankees can get there, which they got it to a nice start last night. I don't really want a Subway Series, but I'd feel so good for Howard if the Mets won, and I have other friends that root for the Mets. I get it, but I just don't want that. That's way too much pressure. That is, like, that's the Mets get there. It's like kind of like you have nothing to lose. If you lose to the Yankees, you lost to the Yankees. You win the holy cow. Yankees, though, would have a lot to lose to the Mets in a Subway Series. But all right, Howard, enjoy it, buddy. Your team got crushed in game one. Great game two. Tonight, Yankees play game two against the Cleveland Guardians, 7:30 first pitch. My buddy, Howard Simon, I hope you had a good week. And by the way, going back to last week, though, by them making it to the NLCS, really great stuff. That happened the last time we did sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, so great job by Howard Simon, his Mets, and feel good for him. All right, let's look ahead to the next game. It is brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. You all know I'm not a big beer drinker. Like my, red wine once in a while. I had a great meal in Manhattan, had a nice glass of red wine. But you know what I really like? seltzers. Great seltzers here. Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. LakeHour.com is the website. I know I've told you this before, but remember, Rich Pete, big Bills fan. He's a big part of this with his partner, Wyatt Russell, who's Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son. We've had him on the air. Great stuff that they're doing for Lake Hour. And the Bills play the Tennessee Titans next Sunday at 1 p.m. That's going to be a good weather game, I think. We'll have Pat Hammer on later in the week. Maybe about 65 to 70 degrees, somewhere in there. Sunny. I love it. And the Tennessee Titans, 1-4, a very winnable game for the Buffalo Bills. The Titans actually don't have a bad defense on the season. They're having a tough time offensively, especially with Will Levis. They've scored 17 or less points in all but one game. That was that game in Miami. They won 31-12. So some traps here for the Bills, you know, on their offensive side, but they should be able to take care of business next week against the Tennessee Titans. They're like an 8-point favorite right now. Once again, that is a look ahead to the next game brought to you. That's your Lake Hour look ahead for the next game, brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Trust me, you're going to love this stuff. LakeHour.com. One Bills Live up next, and then it's going to be a full One Bills Live today. One Bills Live, show up in the Bulldog after that. I'll be back on Friday.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.